This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Junks are coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today.
Look at this. People want to chime in on Open Line Thursday, Cakes.
Oh, very good.
I think we're revitalizing the segment. I think it's coming back to life. I feel like we've had a few good ones
of late. All right, good. 800-636-1067 is the number.
I think the Ulbrich story touches a nerve.
Yeah. Let's go to Truett calling from Charlotte. Truett, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys.
How are you? Thanks for
taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I was listening here this morning, and I noticed Lurch really grilling this kid. And I don't really have a dog in the fight, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to be reminded that Lurch was really proud of himself for taking Rory's phone number out of his buddy's phone at the bar a few weeks ago.
That's a great point.
But I have not contacted him yet. All right?
I don't like how you threw in yet.
But what about if you were 21?
The last thing I'll do, bro, is prank Rory McIlroy,
right,
and post it on social media. That's the last thing I'll do.
I didn't think you were going to do that. I just thought we needed to point out the fact that there was a phone number transferred.
I missed that story. I must have been away.
Yeah, I got Rory's number from. And by the way, I didn't steal it. It was given to me by someone.
Okay, given.
But anyway,
you're right.
I mean, I did. He didn't offer it to me. I took it, but I haven't called him and I haven't texted him and I probably won't. And the last thing I would do would prank him.
I think you just like having it in your phone.
Yeah, because I like to show
it's
you guys.
Look what I got. It's a great flex for your phone.
But yeah, you make a decent point. Decent. Not a great point, a decent point.
All right.
It made me laugh.
Let's go to Travis in D.C. Travis, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
what's
Travis.
Up? How are you?
What's up?
Good. I think the penalty should have been the team should be held at a higher standard. I think it should cost you anywhere between a first and a third round pick.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy.
Yet considering what it could have cost Shador in this case, he was being filmed live. If he would have crashed out and had some obscene gestures and all that going on, that would have forever lived. And that would have been a major black eye to his finances, his personality, how he's viewed in life. And so you can't take that back. So I think depending on, like, if a person potentially embarrassed because they've been viewed live, maybe that should cost a first-round pick. But if it was, like, some of these people who were, like, you know, in private, they got pranked, and maybe third. But you should set a precedent that this will not be tolerated no matter what, and that the worst-case scenario is going to cost you at least a third-round pick.
I think a first-round pick is extreme. But
thank
maybe,
you, Travis.
Maybe he
I
does
appreciate
have a
the sentiment.
Point because, I mean, what's a $250,000 fine to Arthur Blank?
Nothing.
He's a multi-billionaire. He laughs.
Yeah,
at
but they don't like.
They don't want to be in the spotlight.
It just makes
for
him look bad, right? It just makes the team look
it's
bad.
It's a bad look.
I think he's right. Taking a draft pick, put some teeth into it.
Excuse me.
But I think you have to establish those things beforehand. Like, Ulbrich is going to eat the $100,000, but there's no precedent on this. It just seems so random. The NFL can just come in and say, "Yeah, we're just going to fine you $100,000."
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's if you're part of a private corporation, they can do whatever they want.
Look, I don't want to overstate it. It's a prank call, right? So I don't want to get crazy with it. But I agree with JP. The most important thing is these kids are at their most vulnerable. And it's just, that's the thing that's just so frustrating about
it. The Falcons love to pay fines, by the way. I'm stealing this from Nate Tice on Twitter. In just the past decade, they've been fined for $350,000 plus a fifth round pick for illegal crowd noise. I don't even know. I guess piping in noise. $75,000 plus $25,000 to the head coach for an injury report violation on Bijan Robinson. $250K and a fifth rounder for tampering with Kirk Cousins, and now the latest. They get fined all the time. I mean, that happens all the time for this franchise, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So the fine, those fines are kind of adding up.
Well, Blank's got Home Depot money.
Yeah, he's got Home Depot money. It's pretty good to be in on the ground floor of Home Depot. I think he's going to be fine. I'm not worried for him.
I assume Home Depot's number one in that. Right? They're
in
better,
that
they're
segment?
Yes. Of course. Over Lowe's.
Lowe's is fine, but there aren't nearly as many Lowe's as there are buildings with the big orange sign mm-hmm. on the side of them. Not even close. I don't think. Probably outnumber them like 5-1. 800-636-1067 right. is the number. It is an open line. Thursday.
Hey, go to Darren real quick. He's in Raleigh.
Ah, Darren calling it from and enemy territory.
He's calling, yeah, but let's see if he's a Canes fan or a Caps fan.
Mm.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Hey, it's doing great. How are you, Darren?
Good. I'm a Caps fan.
Okay, good.
Been one for a while. I'm 25, so not as long as you guys. But I live in Raleigh. I've been to 3 games since I've been down here. They lost every single one of them. So I'm not going. I think I might be a jinx. But two, it's just not a fun experience.
Hmm.
I don't like the Canes fans. I don't like the Lenovo Center. And I'm fired up. I think the Caps will take this to game 7. And I think we'll win it from there. But it's going to be tight. It's going to be tense the whole time, boys.
Are the Canes an annoying fan base? I haven't really gotten into whether they're going to rankle me or not throughout this series. I guess they're a division opponent. I guess they should be bothering me at some point.
They are. I think there's two things. The Canes are the only professional franchise in Raleigh.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that the Raleigh, you know, people can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
But two, there's this sense of entitlement. Like, I don't know. And I always say, I've got a lot of friends that are Canes fans. I say, Ovechkin himself has done more than your entire franchise. And they get very rattled by that very quickly. So.
Well, I'm glad you're rattling their cage down there. Fight that good fight. We appreciate it as Caps fans.
Thank you, buddy. Do we know what the tickets are going for? In
I don't even think that we've seen yet because the first 2 games are going to be here.
Right.
So, I mean, we don't even know when game 1 is, but that should come out in the next few days.
By the way, Ace Hardware dominates Home Depot.
Well, maybe as far as locations, but not for sales.
What do you mean dominates?
I mean,
there's a lot more locations.
Because they're small.
Yeah, look at market cap.
Yeah.
I know who dominates that number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go to Joe, Severna Park. Joe, what's up?
Hey, good morning, boys. How you doing?
Joe, what's up?
Long time listener. I've been a P1 ever since you guys hung up on Paul Stanley all those years ago.
That's a long time.
Thanks, man.
Thank you,
back in the HFS days. That was one of our most glorious moments.
Yeah, he was not happy to play. What was the name of the segment? Surprise guest or who am I?
He didn't like it.
He was not a fan.
Listen, I don't know that. Let me just give you a background on it. So we have they say you're going to interview Paul Stanley. We didn't give a crap about Paul Stanley. We were probably being a little arrogant.
I think Paul Stanley and maybe Kiss, I think it was a collab. They were like doing a concert with like an orchestra somewhere.
Right.
And they were trying to hype it up. And
we were probably a little full of ourselves. We didn't really want to. So we said, we'll do a guest, mystery guest or whatever.
Yeah. Who am I?
And then we intentionally, I don't know if he said something in the middle of it that made us realize this guy's like really put off by it.
Yeah.
But we just intentionally guessed every celebrity on earth other than him, even though we knew it was him.
Yeah.
And he did not.
Yeah, it ricked him.
We hung up on him. Right?
Yes,
eventually, because
or he maybe hung up on us.
We were probably a little bit too bodacious about that. But, oh well. What are you gonna do?
I thought it was great and
audacious.
And I've been a podcast listener, for the last 15 years. Listened every single day. The last time I actually called, this was how long ago that was. You guys were giving away an Xbox, and there was some question about Brett Favre, and I actually got censored. Because I remember when you had to stop calling Johnny Cakes Johnny the other C word, it was like right at that time where you couldn't call him that anymore, and I accidentally did.
I don't believe we actually called him Johnny C word.
Not that I remember.
No, other C word, the guy C word, not the lady C word.
Oh,
yeah, no, I don't think remember.
We ever say that word.
I don't remember.
I don't think we ever did that.
The one that wrong.
Yeah.
But maybe if you're thinking about Johnny Cochran, the attorney.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
You guys are giving away those Cypress Hill tickets, and I think you guys sleep on the opener for Cypress Hill atmosphere. Obviously, you know, Cakes and Lurch probably aren't going to like him, but I think EB, you might. JP, you probably definitely would. Atmosphere is awesome. One of the best underground hip hop artists of all time.
I've heard the name. I've heard the name before for sure.
Yeah, it's technically a duo, the DJ and the rapper, but Atmosphere it's pretty much the rapper, but he's really awesome. He's put out a lot of stuff over the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that guy, that name I've heard, been around for
definitely
a long time.
Heard of Atmosphere.
Yeah.
So good, so good. You guys should definitely check him out.
All right, so you're saying you're recommending a music recommendation.
Slug is the rapper. Atmosphere is the group, but Slug is the rapper of the group?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, right. Slug's the rapper.
All right.
Yeah, he's got one of the best, known as one of the best underground hip-hop albums of all time. It's called God Love
Ugly. I'll
take
your word for it.
Thank you, buddy. You know who's into that whole underground thing is Steve Mikes. Steve Mikes is into that whole underground, I don't even still doing it, but...
All right. Slug. No, never heard of Slug.
Let's go to Mike in Manassas. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing this morning?
Hey, Mike.
What's up, sir?
We're doing great.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. What's up, bud?
Quick question for you. Now that we're past the round, if or when are you guys going to bring back the Get That Stanley campaign?
See, I'm pro bringing it
Valdez
back.
Valdez doesn't want to bring it back because...
I like having a little soundtrack.
Because we already got it, so that Valdez said...
But get another one.
Get another one, yeah.
I loved the Cool and the Gang. The Cool and the Gang parody. That was the best, man. Well, of course, that was after they finally won. But, come on, man. Let's bring it back.
Do you know... You guys are misremembering the whole...
He thinks it's a jinx.
It was a jinx.
Yes.
Because
they lost when we did the Get That Stanley.
We did it for years. We did it for years and years and years.
No,
and then
3 years or something. But, okay.
No, it was like 2 years and they finally won. It was like 2 years and they finally won. Maybe not. Maybe they did. Maybe you guys did not.
We didn't play it that year that they won.
Because of all of the exits, the playoff exits, Drab and I put the kibosh on it, saying it's bad luck.
It's bad juju.
And then that year, when we put the kibosh on Get That Stanley, they won the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
And we played it in celebratory fashion.
I agree that that's the timeline of events. I do not agree that it impacted a game.
Of course not. Right. Because we didn't play it last year. They didn't win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Yeah, we haven't played it in years.
Because they got that time.
Yeah, they got it.
They haven't been good in
years. They've conquered it.
I just like having a soundtrack. I like when the Skins win, we can say, play the music, Cakes, and we get fired up. I feel like we don't have... Can we come up with a new one then?
You need a Caps soundtrack,
I need something Caps related. Like, we're talking about the Masters, you play the music, I get Chubb. Like, I want something like that with the Caps.
I mean, we can do it, but...
A soundtrack of something.
I believe it's your doing if they spiral out.
Listen, that's fine. I'm willing to take the hit, but it doesn't have to be Get That Stanley. Let's get something. Something that could be... Bullets, we even have Bullets Fever at least.
Love it.
Do the Caps not have anything?
I mean, they do play the same song when they do go on a power play. We could just steal I think it's... Darude Sandstorm.
Can you Valdez find that, Valdez? I'm not even sure I recognize
it. It's instantly recognizable.
Unleashed of Fury. You've got signature moments.
I do like Unleashed of Fury. I am a big fan.
Yeah, but I love Tom Green. Every time. I just need a soundtrack. Hold on. Okay, I've heard it, but I didn't really put two and two together.
Well, I mean, whenever the Caps go on a power play, they crank this up in Cap One Arena.
Yeah, I mean, I go twice a year, so I wouldn't put it together.
Yeah, Cakes is ready to rave.
I need like a pacifier and some ecstasy. Anybody have any?
All right.
Mike Barr.
800-636.
Cakes was feeling it last night. He went back to doing his face bit.
Well, I realized my tradition was I would take a selfie after every Caps win, and I'd slept on doing that throughout this series. So I felt like last night with clinching by winning, I had to get
you're back on the bandwagon.
My fat, freshly shaved face out to the people.
Right.
So I did.
Was that your last shave the run?
Sure. I can keep it growing. I can do the beard bit.
So you could have gnarly beard at the end?
I went and visited my man Jonathan yesterday. We had some private, intimate moments. He massaged my head at the end of the haircut. All's good. All's well.
All right, let's go to Chris in D.C., 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Chris!
Hey, good morning, Junks. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
All right, good. Two things. Keep the beard growing because I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. But I will say that I wanted to send a shout-out to Priscilla yesterday that I called because it's obvious she didn't watch the game yesterday, and she listened to it on 106.7 The Fan.
Very good.
That's
yes.
the reason jinx why it. We got on through.
Excellent.
She didn't jinx it.
She did, she did her part.
Great
Everybody
point,
needs to do
Chris.
Their part.
Her part, man. Fan support.
All right.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, buddy. Great
Appreciate
point.
That.
Great point.
When we come back, we'll talk more Caps and Kentucky Derby with our pal Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. He's up next here on The Fan. You can always text us on an open line Thursday as well on the Junkies text line. That's brought to you by Lido Pizza, a local favorite since 1955, serving pizza, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza is square because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. It's time to go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We say good morning to Neil Greenberg, Washington Post sports columnist. Neil, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you all?
We are What's doing up, well. Later in this segment, we're going to get your derby pick. So we're definitely going to do that. But we want to lead off with the Caps, who closed out Montreal in Game 5 last night.
Can I ask him a trivial question?
Sure.
Can I ask a trivial question? Do you? I feel like I need a soundtrack. They're trying to tell me no, get that Stanley. Do you know of any that we're not thinking of that they like to play or that would remind, you know, get us fired up about the Caps?
I think the Stanley Cup run is, I mean, if you're not going to get fired up by that, what's going to fire you up? I mean, this team is really good, and the trajectory is to have a deep playoff run. So, you know.
He means a score. Yeah, like, if it was a movie, like a soundtrack.
Yeah, like a musical
accompaniment.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, on the show, so I mean, you weren't listening on the last segment. Like, I like, you know, when the Skins went, play the music cakes. We talk about golf, hit the Masters. You know what I mean? I need something.
Neil, I suggested Darude Sandstorm, which they play whenever the Caps go in the power play. I thought that was a decent suggestion.
Yeah, what about the Iron Maiden track they used to have?
I don't even remember that.
Mm. Yeah, didn't they used to have an Iron Maiden track for the goal song?
Well, I'll have Valdez check that out.
I would love that if that were the case.
I'll have Valdez check that
years
out.
Back.
All right, anyway, I digress. I was just wondering if you had thoughts on that. What were your overall thoughts as the series progressed? Did it become sort of obvious to you that the Caps were clearly the better team?
Yeah, my only concern going into the playoffs was that Montreal was just a young team, you know, for lack of a better term, playing with house money. You know, they were young, they were deep, they were fast. If puck started to go their way, I mean, they could have easily made this more of a series. But there was really only one game where they were, you know, truly dominant, and Washington controlled it throughout the rest of the series. I think though this series was good because it showed all the different ways that that Washington can win a series. You know, they can win close games, they can blow you out, they can do comebacks. I think that's what ultimately makes this team really dangerous this year is that they're very well coached and they have enough depth and blue line production to really make stuff happen.
Neil, you brought up well coached. And I liked Peter Laviolette when he was here, but they parted ways a few years ago, and he's since been let go by the Rangers, and Carberry's led the Capitals to their first playoff series win since winning the Stanley Cup back in 2018. Like, the Caps clearly made the right choice in parting with Laviolette and getting a guy in here who would actually play the young players and help develop them alongside the aging core led by OV. And you know, Tom Wilson's not that old, but he's been here for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been able to push the right buttons. He's shown, I think the biggest challenge that he had was when Ovechkin went down with the broken leg. He still kept things together, losing his best player. And I thought he did a great job of just keeping everything calm during the not only the low points, but also during the goal chase. I mean, that easily could have spun out of control and just been a circus. But, you know, credit to Ovechkin. He didn't really let it get that way. He was never stuck on any number. You know, we weren't like the countdown clock wasn't stuck at two or one for any length of time. But he's shown that he's able to put his players in a position to succeed, both young and old. I think he's done a really good job managing this roster. And, you know, he's shown that he is the right guy in the right spot at the right time. And you got to give credit to the front office for making that move. But so far, he's been great. I mean, I don't think you can talk enough about how good Carberry has been as a coach for this team.
Neil, can you give us a quick scout on the Caps' next opponent in the playoffs? The Carolina Hurricanes loom. Of course, the first two games will be here at Capital One, but what sort of challenge do the Caps face taking on Carolina next?
Carolina is probably the most progressive organization. I've known their general manager, Eric Tulsky, since he's a blogger in his mom's basement. You know, they will look for every single edge, both on and off the ice. And, you know, they got goal scorers of their own. I mean, you know, Jarvis, Aho, Roslick, you know, they have, 10 or so double-digit scorers during the regular season. They're deep down the middle. They're going to be tough. I mean, this is a really solid hockey team from top to bottom. And this is a big challenge. I mean, the goaltending is okay. But this is a deep team that has goal scorers of their own. This is going to be it's obviously going to be a tough challenge, but I think that Carolina is one of these teams that analytically is very sound, and they will find every edge they can to exploit. Washington's going to have their job cut out.
Are they a chippy team like Montreal? Were they like instigators when they want to try and rough you up and get your mind off of the actual game?
No, they're going to score. Yeah. They're just going to put pucks on the net from the high danger chances, and they're going to score, and they're going to do their best to get the matchups that they want when they're on home ice. And, you know, they got guys that can really make stuff happen. I think it's going to be if there's going to be a series that's going to be a shootout, I think this is going to be it. I think, you know, the overs might get a little bit of a workout for this series.
So, Neil, you mentioned Carolina's GM, Eric Tulsky. How did this guy come to run an NHL team? I'm looking at his background. I mean, he's got a BA in chemistry and physics from Harvard. Then he completed his PhD in chemistry from Cal Berkeley.
Like, yeah, he's when Eric is obviously he's a very smart guy. He's got patents in like biochemistry and all this other stuff. He's obviously a very, very bright individual. But what Eric was able to do perhaps better than most people was translate the analytical data into actionable items for the audience that he was talking to. So whether that was you know, readers or coaches or players or general managers or scouts, you know, he's not saying, well, your Corsi is 40% and when, you know, it's 5-on-5. He's matching up the tape. He was always good at that. He was always able to talk the language of his audience. And from what I understand, he's really good at bringing people together. He's not a me guy. He's not a guy that needs the spotlight. He's very happy with people growing into their role and doing what it is that they got to do best. So he's just really taken an unconventional route, but he's a very smart hockey. He's a smart mind, period. But very smart hockey mind, very, very sharp, but a very good communicator, and I think that's been the key to his success.
Getting Protas back is big, too, especially for this series.
Huge. Yeah. You know, we've talked about this for years in hockey in terms of, you know, the teams that are deepest down the middle usually have the greatest success. We saw that with the Kings, the Chicago, the Pittsburgh, you know, all throughout the year. So getting Protas back, 30-goal scorer, young kid, center is really, really big. And, you know, I also think that, you know, Dylan Strome is just playing out of his mind. I don't know if it's because he's on your show, but, you know, it's just he's been electric this series.
Yeah, maybe we gave him some good mojo last year.
I don't think it's a coincidence. I'm not – I'm an analytics guy.
All right.
I bet you I can trace the numbers, the spike, directly to the junkies.
I hope you're correct. We'll take credit.
Now, to be fair, he was on last season.
That's okay, but you know
this
what?
Season we've got Dowd on.
Dowd had a great year.
You got to build it up. It builds up in the system and then explodes.
But didn't Dowd kind of have his career year?
He did. And he signed an extension.
Yeah.
So I mean, the junkies magic touch.
Hey, isn't it kind of, Neil?
Everything
kind of,
you guys touch turns to gold.
Isn't it kind of crazy, Neil, that this is the first series win since the Cup?
Yeah.
7 years?
It's been tough. You know, there was. I am shocked that they're this good at this point of the career arc of, you know, the core of Ovechkin, Wilson, Carlson. I mean, you know, this was supposed to be a year about the chase. But, you know, again, you got to give credit to Carberry that he's getting it done.
I think Cake, I don't know if Cake's already asked you this, sorry. But we were talking about the players. Like, I hated Josh Anderson for the Canadians. Didn't like him at all.
Right.
For obvious reasons. Give me one or two Carolina Hurricanes that I'm just going to dislike.
Yeah, some pests.
From the opening puck drop.
Probably like a guy like. I mean, Jordan Staal's still there. They have Eric Robinson who can throw some hits. You know, I think I really do think though the guy that's going to anger you the most is probably going to be like Seth Jarvis because he's going to score all the time.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're not built like thuggish. They're built young, speed and scoring ability. So I think that's really where you're going to tear your hair out.
Okay.
We're joined by Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Now we're going to pivot over to the Kentucky Derby. The 151st running is this Saturday. Are you excited that journalism is the favorite, unless I'm looking at old odds here, at 3-1 out of the 8
holes? I haven't heard of any of these stories. How come I haven't? Have they been super hyped up? I feel like it's been on the down low.
I am excited about journalism being the favorite because I'm tossing the horse. I don't think that is can they win. So it's fake news on the fake favorite.
Really?
I think.
Why? Look at that. Why do you think you can't win?
I don't like the breeding. I mean, with the Kentucky Derby, you need a horse that's fast, but you also need a horse that inherits enough stamina from their pedigree to carry that speed, the 1.25 miles of the Kentucky Derby. I mean, this is the longest that the horses are going to travel in their career. And you can see as the journalism, as he added length, you know, you can see that there was a little bit of a back turn in terms of his being able to sustain that speed. I actually like the number 4 horse, Rodriguez. He was 12-1 on the morning line. I'd be happy with anything from 8 to 12 to 8 or 10 to 1. This is a Bob Baffert horse. Obviously, he knows what he's doing. Mike Smith is aboard. This horse has impeccable breeding. His sire is Authentic, a former Kentucky Derby winner. Into Mischief is his grandsire. A lot of stamina, a lot of versatility there. I think Rodriguez is a horse that's breaking from the inside with speed, but he's going to go to the front anyway, so I don't really think that it impacts him. So I like Rodriguez out of the 4 hole.
What about Burnham Square?
Yeah, I'm getting asked about this horse a lot.
Okay.
I think this horse is fine. You know, Ian Wilkes is having a good campaign in 2025. Brian Hernandez is aboard again. He won with this horse in the Bluegrass. I think this horse is fine. I don't know how much I would include him in my trifecta tickets. I would much prefer the Japanese import that's really been doing well. I think that the Luxor Cafe is the Japanese horse is a lot better suited for hitting the board, and then you probably get it a little bit better price. There's a lot of inside speed in this horse, and I'm really not sure like how they're going to utilize that all. There's going to be a crush to the rail from the inside horses. I think that allow a horse like Luxor Cafe to kind of hang back and do his thing. Burnham Square, I think, is going to be kind of in the middle of the pack. And I just think there's going to be such a crush of horses trying to get to the front that he may just get bottled up and not have a lot of room to work.
How many horses are there right now? 20. Okay.
By the way, the morning line favorite hasn't won since 2018.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah, this would be a good betting. I think this is a really good betting race. Journalism, especially, getting a lot of the money. I'm fine tossing that horse in the first two spots. I have no interest in journalism, the horse. I have a lot of interest in journalism, the vocation.
yes, we're Neil, well aware.
Neil, BT Dubs, the Carolina Hurricanes were -150 to win the series. Ooh. Pretty significant favorite.
Yeah, I mean,
favorite.
Again, they're a good team. I mean, it's hockey playoffs. I mean, anything can happen. You know, one game swing is going to change that. But Carolina is going to be well-rested. And, you know, again, you can't underestimate the edges that this team will get off the ice. I mean, from biometrics to, you know, sleep studies and all that other stuff, this is a very, very smart organization with very, very good players. You cannot take them lightly in this series.
Hey, Neil, before you go, can you give us a trifecta box for the Derby?
We don't do trifecta box. We talked about that before. But I like Rodriguez.
Okay.
I like Luxor Cafe, and I also like Tiztastic to round it out.
All right, there you go. Do with that information what you will. Thanks, as always, Neil. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, love you guys.
Love you too, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Neil Greenberg, at N Greenberg on Twitter, Washington Post sports columnist. Don't forget, coming up at 8 o'clock, Frank Caliendo is going to join us on the phone. He'll be in D.C., May 20th and the 21st at the DC Improv. He'll join us at 8. Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday here on the Junks. 800-636-1067 is the number. If you want to talk about the Caps closing out Montreal last night, you can do that. If you want to talk about the Commanders draft haul from this past weekend, you can do that as well. Speaking of the Commanders, Jason, did you see that your neighbor, Frankie Louvu, made an appearance at Capital One Arena last night? He was on the Jumbotron. He guzzled a Bud Light in front of the crowd. He got a big pop in the arena. That Frankie Louvu.
I missed that. I don't know. When did they show him?
I'm not sure exactly when that was, but they definitely flashed to him just sitting in the crowd. And my daughter was like, who was that? And I was like, I think that's Frankie Louvu. I don't think they showed him chugging the beer like on the broadcast. Yeah. But
it went viral
on
social.
He's definitely caught on Twitter. Grant Paulson's got a good video of it.
I haven't seen him in the neighborhood lately. I just figured he'd left town and went back to...
Now, I'm gonna ding his form slightly because he didn't do the jersey pull, but that's okay. He doesn't know TJ Oshie made that iconic during the Caps Stanley Cup celebration, but pretty good form nonetheless.
No, it's great. I love to see
good
the
to see him there, yeah, and getting
see
in,
the
into
support
the
from everybody.
Yeah,
all the local teams around here are supportive of each other. You know, the Caps will go out. And
it's very cool.
Yeah, it's great. My buddy Paul texted me. I know Jason got a text from our friend
from
Jen. And they both said, we got to do bands and make her dance.
That was an oversight by me.
Yeah.
That seems like it's an easy call.
Can you find a clean version, Valdez? This has to be the anthem of 2025, for better or worse.
Probably right.
It has to be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It already is.
It's already been established.
Yeah.
Ovi loves it. Chicky loves it.
This is Ovi's song?
Yeah. You've seen the viral stuff with it? So they do this right before the game?
I mean, do they do this in the locker room or in the pregame skate?
Right before they go out on the ice.
Okay.
And I can't even remember the exact
derivation. I've seen it. That song doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, well, if you're like on social media, you see it every day now. And they just, this has
all
to
right,
be
well,
it.
This is it then.
This is it. This is it.
This is a cap.
Find the best portion of it.
It's a Capselli song for 2025.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Just makes sense.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Boom. Done.
Bands make her dance.
Done. I don't think it's going to jinx them.
Nah.
I think it's already established.
It's an established tradition.
It's already established.
Caps fans, you can chime in. It is Open Line Thursday, 800-636-1067. I was having a little back and forth with a Caps fan on Twitter.
Okay.
Actually, Drab had most of it.
Okay.
That was upset the other day that we didn't talk more Caps. Hmm. I said, it's an interactive show. People can call in all the time to talk Caps.
Call whenever you want.
So to me, it's on the Caps fans.
Well, I do think that there's a slow burn. The playoff season is a long season, and
it is. Listen, I'm sorry. I hate it. It's a bandwagon town. And as they start to build momentum, more and more people get on board.
Of course.
And I feel like we're starting to build some momentum. The snowball's starting to go downhill a little bit, and the snowball's getting a lot bigger.
It's only 12 more wins to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, now that you get in the second round, you finally get to the second round. It's been 7 years.
Yeah.
Now it starts to get really interesting. It starts to get real.
I'm a big time scaredy cat of this series.
Hell yeah.
I do think this is going to be
vicious.
The point spread was big when you look at the standings, but the win total, not that different. I want to say only 4 wins. Because, you know, Jason for years has been an advocate. He hates, like, the overtime and the shootouts, and they get points from, like, an overtime loss stuff.
Yeah.
So you can have, like, this bigger spread. Meanwhile, a team only won a couple more games.
Yeah.
So they're pretty close in the standings.
Yeah. And like I pointed out to Neil, they're a pretty significant favorite to win the series in Vegas.
Who is?
Carolina. Mm. They're the favorite.
Fully expecting this to be a six or seven game
series. Yes.
With Carolina.
Carolina's the Stanley Cup favorite.
Really?
Are they really right now?
At least they were last night at plus 425.
So is it safe to say we couldn't have drawn a worse second round opponent?
They're all going to be tough at this point.
They're all going to be tough. If you're talking about the Stanley by Vegas's numbers, you can make the argument that we couldn't have had a worse draw.
Florida on FanDuel, Florida is plus 390 currently. Carolina's plus 470. So maybe that changed.
After the win last night.
Maybe. And Washington is plus 1,000. So they're the sixth favorite right now.
Plus 1,000. That might be worth a small wager.
Edmonton's ahead of them. Dallas is ahead of them. Vegas Golden Knights are ahead of them.
I mean, if I'm getting plus 1,000, like, I feel like I should bet on him, but I don't.
No. You stay away.
You know, I'll just be a spectator.
You just stay away.
I'll just watch from the sidelines. It's all good.
Well, what you should do is do the emotional hedge play like I'm going to do and take Carolina. Yes, I'm doing that.
I know you're doing it, but if I did that, especially against the Caps, I would feel like that's borderline like blood money.
Oh, okay.
Right. And I wouldn't feel good. Taking that money.
I like all money. I like blood money. I like all money.
I like money, but not at the expense of the team that I love losing.
Yeah. I've never seen... Cakes was more defensive about the Caps than maybe his own family.
Yes.
I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
That's my squad.
I know.
He's been pretty consistent the last few years. It's the same sort of deal.
It is. It's very similar. That's how I could equate it.
How dare you say that the Tom Wilson hit was borderline...
I mean, I thought it was a penalty.
You can say it's borderline.
It was a great momentum changer.
Borderline is fine. But if the ref that's standing 5 feet away doesn't raise his hand to call a penalty, then who am I to say that's a dirty hit or an illegal hit?
I don't think it was dirty. I thought it was probably worthy of a penalty, but it was great.
I agree that it was a borderline hit, especially with his past and his reputation and the way that refs love to call things against Tom Wilson. Yeah. It's not Tom Wilson's fault that he's bigger, faster, and more powerful than basically everybody else in the league.
Yeah,
it's just the way he's built.
Everybody's saying, though, like, I think you guys also saw, I don't know, JP might have been watching hoops at that point, but when they interviewed, was it Stromer afterwards? And they asked him, what do you think was the difference in this series? And he goes, what do you think? And it was obviously the Wilson.
I mean, that game where he hit Carrier completely turned after that hit.
They were up 2-1, but I believe they were down 2-1 in that game at the moment. Right? I think they were.
I don't remember the exact specifics, but I know about 20 seconds after that hit, the Caps scored a goal.
Right.
And then the floodgates opened.
Was that Duhame who scored?
Duhame scored.
Yeah, right. You might be right. It might have been 2-1. I said this to Cakes. I said, well, if that was Duhame getting pummeled by Josh Anderson, would you have said, yeah, that was a dirty hit? You probably would have.
He's a blind homer.
I might have had a different opinion had it happened to the team that I root for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be lying if I was saying otherwise.
Right.
But anyway, it's going to be interesting.
Just glad we sent Montreal home. Just bye-bye. You guys were a year ahead of schedule. Kind of like the Caps last year, who were fortunate to make the playoffs and then got swept. They luck box their way into one game. Gentlemen sweep. Bye-bye, Montreal. We'll see you next season. You go have fun on your beach and golf vacations.
They're done.
We're going to continue watching the Caps advance in the playoffs hopefully. Coming up next, Frank Caliendo is going to join us. He'll be at the DC Improv May 20th and 21st. He'll join us next here on The Fan.